Nehemiah bravely rebukes selfishness. This chapter is based on Nehemiah 5. Nehemiah became aware of the unhappy condition of the poorer classes of people. Grain was scarce, and in order to get food, the poor had to buy on credit at exorbitant prices. They also had to borrow money at interest to pay the heavy taxes Persia imposed. To add to the distress, the wealthier Jews had taken advantage of their need, enriching themselves. The Lord had commanded Israel to raise a tithe every third year for the benefit of the poor, and every seventh year to leave the spontaneous products of the land to those in need. Faithfulness in devoting these offerings to relieving the poor would have kept fresh before the people God's ownership of all, eradicating selfishness and developing noble character. You shall not charge interest to your brother, interest on money or food or anything. Deuteronomy 23, verse 19. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. Deuteronomy 15, verse 11. Wealthy Jews had done the very opposite of these commands. When the poor needed to borrow to pay taxes to the king, the wealthy had exacted high interest. By taking mortgages, they had trapped the debtors in deep poverty. Many had been forced to sell their sons and daughters into slavery, and there seemed to be no future before them but perpetual need and bondage. At length, the people presented their situation to Nehemiah. Some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. Nehemiah was indignant. I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. He saw that he must take a firm stand for justice. The oppressors were wealthy people whose support he needed in restoring the city. But Nehemiah sharply rebuked the nobles and rulers, and he set before the people God's requirements. He reminded them of events during the reign of King Ahaz. Because of their idolatry, God had delivered Judah into the hands of still more idolatrous Israel. The Israelites had seized women and children, intending to keep them as slaves or sell them to the heathen. Because of Judah's sins, the Lord had not prevented this, but by the prophet Oded, he rebuked the victorious army. You propose to force the children of Judah and Jerusalem to be your male and female slaves? But are you not also guilty before the Lord your God? 2 Chronicles 28, verse 10. When they heard these words, the armed men left the captives and spoil before the assembly. Then the leading men of Ephraim took the captives, and from the spoil they clothed all who were naked among them, dressed them and gave them sandals, gave them food and drink, and anointed them, and they let all the feeble ones ride on donkeys. So they brought them to their brethren at Jericho. Verse 15. Nehemiah and others had ransomed certain Jews who had been sold to the heathen, and he now contrasted this course with the conduct of those who were enslaving their brethren to enrich themselves. Nehemiah himself, carrying authority from the Persian king, might have demanded large contributions for his personal benefit. But instead, he had given liberally to relieve the poor. He urged those guilty of extortion to restore the lands of the poor and the interest on money exacted from them, and to lend to them without security or interest. We will restore it, the rulers declared, and will require nothing from them. We will do as you say. And all the assembly said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Then the people did according to this promise. The gospel can cure modern economic injustice. This history teaches an important lesson. In this generation, wealth often comes by fraud. Many people are struggling with poverty, compelled to work for small wages, unable to afford even the necessities of life. Worried and oppressed, they do not know where to turn for relief. And all this so that the rich may live extravagantly or indulge their desire to accumulate more. Love of money and display has made this world a den of thieves. Come now, you rich, James wrote. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, hosts. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. James 5, verse 1, 3-5. Even some who profess to fear God are repeating what the nobles of Israel did. Because it is in their power to do so, they become oppressors. And because the lives of those who have taken the name of Christ show such greed, people hold the religion of Christ in contempt. Extravagance and extortion are corrupting the faith of many and destroying their spirituality. The church gives approval to evil if she fails to lift her voice against it. Every unjust act is a violation of the golden rule, done to Christ Himself in the person of His people. Every attempt to take advantage of another person's ignorance or misfortune is registered as fraud in the books of heaven. Just to the extent that we may try to gain personal advantage at the disadvantage of another, to that extent will we become unresponsive to the influence of the Spirit of God. The Son of God paid the price for our redemption. He became poor that through His poverty we might be rich. By helping the poor liberally, we may prove the sincerity of our gratitude. Let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 10. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7, verse 12.